This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
I mean, because we are now joined by our next guest. We have Diane Toulsonin, who is the Executive Director of TheatreWorks. How are you, Diane?
I'm very well, thank you. Great to be in St Kilda on a sunny day, and it's very, very busy.
It sure is.
I could imagine it would be out there.
Hot rod show and a market. It's so exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, we're both St Kilda people as well, so we walk past TheatreWorks. I can't speak for Eve, but I'm sure she does. You walk up Acklands
Street. Yeah, on the way here.
Yeah. And you've got the cafe out the front now, which has been there all through COVID, through the window as well.
Yeah, it was one of our COVID epiphanies. We have to keep staffing jobs. So best way to do that is open a cafe and engage our neighbours. And it's been really exciting. The renovations happened during one of the lockdowns and then we opened up at the start of this year. It's been really, really exciting.
Yep, fantastic. TheatreWorks, you've really found your place in Melbourne's theatre world now, haven't you? And the respect that all the artists that we speak to, artists and little theatre companies that you support so well, they just all love being at TheatreWorks.
That's so nice to hear. I think we've reclaimed our space now. I think TheatreWorks is very strong. When Dan Clark was there as the creative producer and it was the hub and the place to be, and at that point there weren't that many theatres around Melbourne. So it was the place to go to see independent theatre. And then we sort of had a lull for a little period of time, as every organisation does in transition. And I took the helm about 4 years ago and started from scratch, to be honest, and it's really paid off.
Yep. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So let's talk about, we actually had the show that opens early December in just a little while ago today. But let's talk about next year. What's your program?
Well, our program is staying true and committed to the artists that have been postponed and cancelled or postponed.
And that's lovely that you're doing that as well. Because we just had Pram Kicker in, Amy was here, and it was supposed to be in about a year and a half ago that it was supposed to be on.
Yeah, so we made a promise to every artist that we would reprogram their work. I think that first 2-3 weeks of COVID when it hit, the realisation was we'd probably lose 3 months worth of programming. Mm. And the reality is we lost more than 12 months. So we did get some of those shows up at the start of this year. But for 2022, there are 6 works that are reprograms from postponed shows.
Yep.
And that's really exciting that we can, commit to that work, and that because we're an independent theatre company, we're able to jig things so that that happens.
Yeah. And I love this quote that I read, 50 productions, 8 works in development, 7 artists in development, and 7 festival seasons, plus other stuff as well. That's impressive.
It sounds a bit crazy, but, the good thing about COVID was that we had time to stop producing work back to back. And we looked at what do you do in that time and how do we keep things ticking over. Actually, it was really good to stop and to strategically look at who we were and look at the roller coaster ride of 40 years where, financially sustainable and then all the dips and the pressure that put on the human resources there, stress-wise.
Yeah, and because you had a bit of a nervous moment there. It was the beginning of this year where all of a sudden the City of Port Phillip was, you were losing your funding from them, but that was a hiccup, wasn't it?
Look, it was, and it was just, I think, an oversight, and I think, I can't go into why it happened. It was an oversight, but it was also really bad decision making. And, for us and the organisations, of which there are 8 in the City of Port Phillip that get a small amount of funding, and I'm talking $30,000 a year, so comparatively to Gasworks that get $580,000 a year, there's a big difference. So for those organisations to get the news overnight that the funding was being pulled and no time to plan, and in the middle of a pandemic when the arts has been decimated, our community and our artists and everyone across Australia actually jumped on board, and we had people from around Australia and other arts organisations and theatre companies sending in letters. And I had a meeting with City Port for last week, and they said it was the most submissions they'd ever had for anything in the City of Port Phillip.
Yeah, well, I'll never forget, Joy was still in the city and I was heading back from Pride March to go into the city to do Sunday Arts Magazine. And I just happened to be sitting opposite one of the councillors from the City of Port Phillip when it just happened. And I said to her, look, I really need to stress this enough. And I told her what show I do, and I live in St Kilda and yada yada. And she said, we've been shocked by the amount of support that has come through for all the organisations, and we're seriously looking at it. And don't fret, I think you'll find it will be all right.
Well done, David. I think you made the difference, and it did. And so we did get it back. We've got a 12-month period, and then it will be reinstated. We are lobbying for more because we think $30,000
is not much.
No. It doesn't go far. And what we as theatre work contribute to our community and our neighbourhood and to the artists that live here is, you can't put a money value on it. But I could, and it's really invaluable, but it is worth money.
Mm. All right, so give us a couple of the highlights of what's happening next year for you guys.
Oh, I might get into trouble with the publicist. I'm going to do it.
You can't mention anything midsummer because the launch is tomorrow so you can't
And we're hoping our launch is next Sunday, so we're trying to play tag with them on what do we say. We do have a great midsummer program. It's really diverse, and we have a great working relationship with midsummer and the team there, and they invest a little bit into Theatre Works, which makes a huge difference to the artists. So our aim is with Midsummer is that we have money in advance to develop work for the following year. So for 2023, we want to commission a major piece of theatre at Theatre Works.
Right.
Because at the moment we put together a festival hub, and people put submissions in, and we co-produce the work, but we want to create our own work with relevant stories. And Theatre Works staff is made up for probably 80% are queer identified people, and we're very focused on that. We are a safe place for the queer and LGBTIQ plus community to come and make work and tell their stories.
Yep.
So we're really focused on building that, and that's really important.
Brilliant. So what else can you tell us? But please don't give anything away. I can
tell you that some major works that are reprogrammed, like When the Rain Stops Falling by Andrew Bovell.
Yeah, yeah.
That was our big piece of work, and it sold so many tickets, and we closed it on its second night after it opened, and that's a cast of seven-hander, but about 15 crew that were out of work overnight. Mm. And because our model operates on box office share, there was no money, and they'd been in the rehearsal room for 6 weeks.
Oh, gosh.
So we did contribute to that. So that will definitely be reprogrammed.
Brilliant.
Which is really exciting. Another production is called The View From Up Here, which is a piece of work that we hope to tour in the future, and that's a reprogram, and that's a world premiere for new Australian work.
Right, and when you said we hope to tour it, you are heavily involved in it.
Yeah, so my background before Theatre Works was I worked in the touring market to a degree for a while, so touring lots of theatre work, but also to be a producer. So I've worked with the VAPAC network and the National Fund Touring Networks to tour work. So last year we had 4 shows from Theatre Works going out on tour, which is a new thing for Theatre Works to do.
Whoa.
But that's about creating the future for artists. So when they have a show with us, it goes out from us on tour, and they make lots of money.
And do you know what? It's something that I ask a lot of the small production companies as well. All the time and effort they put into it, and they perform it once, and then what happens to it? And it's so lovely that you're helping them, get the show out on the road.
Yeah, generally a lot of work that Theatre Works does program would not suit a touring market. So we have looked at our programming to get that financial balance, but also the artist sustainability, and we've really, over COVID, worked on who we are as an organisation and strategically planned that, you know, big works are of scale. Hopefully we'll have a touring future, but now the market is quite damaged from COVID and reprogramming. It's probably, the door should probably shut for 2 years. So we're looking at now programming 2023 and 2024 in that model. It may fall off for the next year though.
Yeah. And, you know, like, it sounds as if you've really thought about it and you've planned it all very well, because I suppose you've had the time to do it.
You know, it's a weird thing. When COVID hit, for that, as I said, that first few weeks, we just didn't know. And I just said to the board, we're going to hibernate because we need to preserve the little bit of money we have and we need to come out of this. And it was really unclear whether we would. And then JobKeeper came in, and then, you know, we are very lucky to have a state government that does invest in the arts, and you don't hear it often enough, but they really did support
us. They're so good.
You know, and there was support there. So we ended up with more human resources than we've ever had. So for me, it was what do we do with these human resources, and what do we do? So we actually strategically planned everything, but we also put those resources to good use. So we looked at our marketing and our narrative outside of theatre, because we have to shift people's perspective to think that we're a venue for hire. We're not. We're a co-producer and supporter of artists.
Oh, do you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because I thought you were a venue for hire.
Yeah, no, we don't. We don't earn any income from hire. It's all co-producing,
right,
and
we
underwrite the risk of every show with an investment of $20,000 to $30,000 worth of hard cost items that take to produce a piece of theatre.
Yeah, and because, you know, like, a lot of the productions that come in, you know, the ones we've spoken to over the years, you just know that they're, you know, not a money-making situation. So that's so good of you guys.
Yeah. The other thing we did over COVID, we looked at the evolution of work and how our relationships are with artists. I felt like someone that was a programmer or producer, I was having these Tinder, or I don't know what the new app is, but she app or whatever, where, you know, you swipe and you pick the ones you like and you flick right, or whatever, however that this system works. And I felt like my relationships were one-night stands. You know, I'd pick them, we'd work together, then they'd leave the door, and then you never heard again. Yeah. You just hope that they were okay. So we shifted that narrative and our investment from being at the start of the story. So we brought into play the She Writes Collective, which we now have 14 female identifying playwrights in residence that are all writing plays, and we'll see those plays through from developing the writer, developing the work, and then producing the work. And I think in 2023 we'll have at least three of those works on a main stage, and one maybe on a national main stage.
Right.
And then our associate artists, so we have artists in residence that also get professional development on their career, and it could be producing, it could be marketing, you know, whatever that is. And then we have little micro companies in residence. So we help them to develop their business model, their company, and we do strategic planning with them so they get a business plan, and we do budgeting. So we do a lot more now than we ever have, but we're at the evolution of the artist and the start of the story. So there'll be a lot of work that you'll see from 2022 onwards that's actually been co-produced and written and presented by Theatre Works.
Well, congratulations. All right. So you launch next weekend.
Yes.
So go to the website and check it all out there. What is your website?
www.theatreworks.org.au.
Right. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
And again, congratulations on the great work that Theatre Works is
doing.
Thank
you. I'll see you in the theatre soon.
You will.
Or for a coffee.
You've been listening to Diane Tulson, who is the Theatre Works Executive Director and has the launch of 2022's Theatre Works shows coming up on the 28th of November, both online and in person. But I think all the in-person tickets are gone, so jump online. And you are listening to the Joy Sunday Arts Magazine on 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.